What is up, fight fans? Welcome back and to a new version of the MMA podcast, now called Title Fight Podcast, where we focus on the main event, co-main event, any title fights on the night of a major UFC pay-per-view. I am here with the producer, Ivan, the Devious One.
Hi, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the debut of the Title Fight Podcast, hosted by the director himself right here. What an honor.
It has been a minute since we've had a major UFC pay-per-view, and it's been a minute since I had to have the time to get on a show to talk about fights. I'm super excited. We do have a special guest coming in shortly. To kick it off, we're going to talk about the co-main event tonight. A lot of controversy around this entire card, at least in these two fights. A lot of last-minute changes, a lot of who are they going to get to replace. I'm not Coach. You're not Chris.
I know.
So the original fight booked in the co-main event was a middleweight fight between Kazmat Chimaev and Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa, unfortunately, was, I believe, injured during training not only 12 to 13 days ago as of the taping of this show tonight. And they had to scramble to find a replacement or the fight would be off, which sucks because I'm a huge Chimaev fan. And I wanted to see him make his middleweight debut in the UFC. I know that he's fought at middleweight, I believe, outside of the UFC before. And I know he's talked about being a two-division champ. And, I mean, you got to win the belt in one division before you decide to go up and fight another champ in another division. But this might be the division that he does it in, especially because his debut fight is now against former welterweight champion, who's also, I believe, making his UFC middleweight debut in Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare.
That's right.
This fight is a lot more interesting, I think, than the Paulo Costa fight. I don't know how that fight with Paulo Costa was going to go down. I know the wrestling was definitely not going to be a factor for Chimaev in that fight. I think that he was just going to out-wrestle him, probably, and I think even maybe out-strike him once he figured out that he could out-wrestle him. But now we have a lot of things are different now. There's a lot of new questions because we know Usman is a top tier, one of the most elite wrestlers, not in just the division, but in the UFC. Going up against a guy in Chimaev who is, and people don't know this, he is a highly decorated European wrestler coming out of Sweden who's been wrestling since he was 5. So he does have the credentials on the mat to go toe-to-toe with some of the best in the world. We just have not seen him do that yet. He did not wrestle against Kevin Holland. He didn't wrestle against Gilbert Burns. No. Didn't wrestle against Gerald Meerschaert. You know, all of these wins that he has are spectacular finishes, except for the Burns fight. But that never had to be taken to the ground. That was, in my opinion, mostly a stand-up fight.
Yeah.
So we now have to decide whether or not we think that Usman's wrestling is going to be too much for Chimaev to handle. And then the next factor is the Trevor Whitman factor, is that Usman's striking, as we saw in the Jorge Masvidal rematch, has vastly improved as well. I don't want to say it was that great in the Edwards fight where he lost his belt via KO. Edwards is just that good. Oh, right. But now that he's had more time with Trevor Whitman, his striking is definitely catching up to his wrestling. There's Coach.
All right.
That is our special guest. Surprise.
There you go. Surprise and goodbye, because you guys will take care of this.
Oh, okay.
Enjoy, cool. Gentlemen.
Are you leaving? Just us.
Sounds like it.
Wow.
he did that.
Okay.
So what I've been talking about mostly is not only the last minute change from Costa to Usman, but now what factors are going to be a major problem for Chimaev now that he's facing, I would say, definitely a better wrestler. Even though I think Chimaev's record in wrestling is good, it's definitely, in my opinion, not going to be anywhere near what Usman has. The vastly improved striking of Usman, and then the last-minute change. I honestly think that this is going to be a much harder fight for Chimaev than it was going to be for Costa. And I want to get your thoughts on the last-minute change for not only the opponent, the weight class, and the style.
That's interesting. I think this is going to be a cakewalk for Chimaev. I think it's going to be a super easy fight. I think Usman's old. I think his knee is injured, right? And I think the thing about careers, athletes, but fighters especially, is it's a bottle rocket. You go up, you come down. And we're on the other side of Usman's peak, but we're on the ascent for Chimaev.
Well, you have to consider not only within the past year or two, Chimaev had severe COVID-related lung infections.
Yes.
He's considered retiring. Do you think that those are still things that play with his head, or can you fully heal from something like that in a way that you said Usman's knee also might play a factor?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, those are – we don't know.
His fights are generally pretty short besides the Gilbert Burns fight. So Chimaev's wind capacity is never really in question.
Right.
And Usman is kind of known to take you to deep waters when he wants to, you know.
Absolutely.
None of his finishes have been fast either on his own – on his wins or his losses.
Like, half of Chimaev's octagon time was with Burns.
That fight.
And if you look at what Burns and Usman did together, right? So I could see it going that way. I could see it going the whole distance and just being a lot of work. But honestly, I no longer see Usman as viable. I see him as old and broken and on his decline. It might be premature to take that perspective.
Yeah. But, and are you basing that off of just the known knee injury and the one loss, or are there other mitigating factors that you know from the inside, you know, the coaching world that the fans?
No, I'm basing that off of what I see in him and his age. You know, you can't fake the age, you know. But yeah, it's crazy. Like I couldn't really keep up with all the changes, right? We had,
this was the second change on the main card. It was the title fight that got changed, I think, the day before this happened.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, Chimaev was supposed to fight Paulo Costa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then Costa got a staph infection or some severe injury in his elbow.
I know I saw pictures of his arm, but I didn't remember what it was. I should bring that up. Infection. Ew. Yeah, elbow infection. Whether or not that's staph or not, it could be. I don't see that it says specifically.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Oh, God, don't look at that. That's the worst thing I've seen. That's definitely at least MRSA, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's probably MRSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe this is where the two vegans take the opportunity to mention all the antibiotics in the food supply. You know, they force feed tons of antibiotics to poultry, and all the antibiotics that they put into livestock and poultry is largely responsible for the resistant staph, for the resistant strains of bacteria. So
I haven't had I'll attest, I haven't had any infections since I've become vegan, so you're not wrong. Cool. So based on the facts that we have, these are all facts. These aren't really opinions, except for, like, you know, the longevity of Chimaev's career. You say it's a cakewalk for Chimaev. What do you think the finish rate is, like, style wise? Is it going to be a KO, sub? You think it might go the distance?
I mean, I could see it. I could see it ending with a knockout. I could see it ending with ground and pound. You know, the thing is, like, Usman's style and Chimaev's style are comparable, except you've got the age factor, right?
Right.
So when your style relies on athleticism, which, you know, really champion styles rely on athleticism. It's, you know, it's this thing that we get where we think, oh, athleticism, you know, skill or athleticism. No, you got to use your skill and your athleticism together. And when your athleticism fails, which is what happens when you reach your mid 30s, your style fails, right? So I just see Usman being half a step behind, and you know, and Chimaev does what Chimaev always does, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think
the lung infection that you pointed out, I think that is a factor, you know, and I think it's that spike protein and we don't know what that's going to be. So
yeah, it's definitely something that you don't know affects you. I mean, you can train all day long and as hard as these guys do, but something can happen in that cage that you just didn't plan on. And sometimes cardio is one of those things that you think you have. And a lot of fighters, you know, they suffer in the cage. If they knew it was going to happen, then it wouldn't happen. You know, you could train cardio or lung capacity all day long, and they do. But there's so many things that just the lights, the fans, the nerves, the adrenaline dump, your opponent. So, yeah, any one of those things can affect. Hopefully not. Hopefully that he's recovered just for his, you know, just for his life in general. And I hope that we get to see a full fight from him, like 110% version of him.
Yeah.
Because I like him in this fight because Chimaev is a bit of a psycho. He has a killer instinct that we haven't seen in a very long time. He does not get paid by the hour, and he proves that every time he's in there. The Burns fight, that's because that Burns is just that good. But you've seen him against everyone else. He's trying to set records. He's the fastest to 3 wins within 66 days in UFC history, modern history.
Right.
And Usman isn't known for his fast finishes or his fast starts. He'll grind on you, then he'll set you up, and then maybe he'll finish you. I think Chimaev is fingers on the trigger the whole time, and I think that he can get a TKO. I'm going to say TKO. It'd be crazy if he got like a flush, flat KO like Edwards did against him. I think with more time with Whitman than Usman's had, he might be a little bit more prepared for the kickboxing game. But I still think it's going to probably be Chimaev backing him up against the fence, very similar to the Gerald Meerschaert fight, but a little more difficult. I'll give Usman more credit than that.
Sure. Yeah. I think Meerschaert was sleeping a little bit.
He was
I think all of us were sleeping on Chimaev at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think he's the real deal, though. I do. I think he's the real deal. I think he's going to be champion soon. Which weight class, we don't know.
Yeah, so one thing I brought up is he wants to be 2-division champ, but he's already moving out of 1-division before he won that belt. So we'll see where he decides to get that first title.
Yeah.
Cool. And now we are on to another last minute fight change. The main event, this is for the lightweight belt between Ismail Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski. Can't believe I said those names right. What's the Wi-Fi password? 11 days out, 12 days out. Ismail said that the fans, Alexander, should be grateful that he took this fight because he can pick and choose who he wants to fight. And you're welcome for picking the guy he already beat, which to me sounds like he's turning down fights. Sounds like he's like, I'll just turn down whoever I want to and pick the easy fights. That's what that sounded like.
I feel like Makhachev doesn't choose his own talking points.
I think it's scripted by like...
I feel like somebody is in his ear, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I can't get a read on the guy, honestly. But yeah, that's.
Yeah, because I know that during the.
Thing to say because everyone's getting paid well for this. Everyone wants to see it, you know? But I think he's got to find a way to legitimize himself more with the fan base. Because he's
the Dagestani talking points, they're not good at it. It's not their thing. And when they try to do it, it sort of is very foot in mouth.
Yeah.
I remember during their first fight, Ismael was trying to like mock Alexander and be like, oh, I'm the best wrestler in the world, and this guy's never wrestled his life. And then Alexander's like, you see, this is all I have, like 30 Australian wrestling awards. What are you talking about? And Ismael literally stopped talking. Like the interview was over. He was like, oh shit. so yeah, I don't know if he doesn't do the research, if he's like dead to the world, but they should just, I mean, stick to the wrestling anyways. We don't need everyone to be a Conor McGregor or Kobe Covington out there. The guy does get the job done, whether or not he talks a big game or not. We know that he's good.
Yeah. And he has Khabib's fans, right? So he's got a lot of that region of the world. He's got a lot of fans from left over from Khabib, honestly. So you know, there's good money here. Let me ask you, the short notice,
pun intended. Because he's 5'5".
Oh. Wow. Went over my head. I'm 6'1". The short notice. Who do you think that's going to affect more?
So I was thinking about that, and I did just watch their first fight like yesterday. It was definitely as close as everybody thought. I think that if you raised either guy's hand in that fight, nobody would have been that shocked, in my opinion. I do think it was like 2-1.5 or something like that. It was very close. It was very close. I'm not mad.
The problem with MMA scoring.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this too. Is if you based it on pride rules, which we don't, but if you did, where you look at the fight as a whole, Volkanovski would have won that fight in pride. Those are not the rules. We go round by round.
Right.
And based on that, I see the reasoning behind Ismael winning the fight. So I'm not calling that any kind of robbery. But right. It was definitely close enough to award a rematch.
Yep.
11 days notice. I don't know where Volkanovski was when he got the call. So I'm thinking if he's in – is he in Sydney or is he at City Kickboxing in New Zealand?
I don't know. Either direction. He's 180 pounds.
Yeah. But either direction, he has to fly to get to Abu Dhabi. If he goes east or west, it's like the same distance from where he is on either side of the globe. Oh. So that is a 20-hour flight, I'm assuming. I don't know geography very well, but that is a long flight.
You know, I didn't think about that. That's a really valid point.
Yeah. So that is, to me, going to be a huge factor. The weight loss, which he definitely walks around like a spark plug of 180 pounds. That's crazy, though. Yeah. And he was like 167 like the day after the fight, or the day after he landed or something like that. Like I think the first embedded last Monday, he was like down 12 pounds from that 180, which it's all water weight. It's things you need. You deplete yourself of nutrients to get into a weight class of a sport where you need every single physical advantage, yet you have to take out the most important one to do that, which is water.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, big weight cuts, I'm not a fan of that. All of that, right? And the flight, as you pointed out, the long, very long flight. And spending time on an airplane makes it even harder to cut weight. And so spending an extended period of time on an airplane makes it extremely difficult because
I don't think he's up there on Qantas throwing jabs. I'd imagine they're maybe doing some kind of something.
There's actually something that happens, and this is well beyond my education in physiology, but there is something that happens with the pressurized cabin that affects your ability to shed water. And then, you get all dehydrated in the recycled air blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you get bored, sleepy. There's,
awful. It's awful.
Thinner air, which may or may not be a factor. You would think that, like, oh, the thinner air means his cardio is going to improve, but not that quickly. Over a one-day flight.
Nope. So, yeah, so we see how the short notice is affecting Volkanovski negatively.
Potentially, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But if we look, like, for me, I look at their first fight, and as it went on, Volkanovski started figuring out and cracking the code. He started making the adjustments in his game to beat Makhachev.
Mm-hmm.
Makhachev, I didn't see him really making the same kind of adjustments, right? So I think game planning, Volk has the advantage. I think Volk has been thinking about this, obsessing about this, and now here's the opportunity. He knows what he needs to do, and now he's going to go do it. Where I don't think that's been Makhachev's mindset at all. I don't think his style is really – wherever his career goes, I don't think his style is going to change. I don't think it's going to evolve. I don't think it's going to devolve. I think it is what it is, and it's going to do what it does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one of the things that Volk has shown us that he's actually really good at is changing his game, updating his game, adding skills and evolving. I'm super impressed with the work that Craig Jones and Volk have been doing together. it takes a while to get used to Craig Jones' sense of humor, but the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling and the grappling that Craig Jones has been working on with Volk, you saw it in the first fight with Makhachev, and I think we're going to see it in this fight.
And vastly improved by then, where you think that Ismael is sort of plateaued in his skill set, maybe become complacent with his confidence, where you see constant evolution from Volk.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Yeah, and I love that. One thing that's always said in the rematch is that the winner doesn't have to change anything because they already won. It's up to the loser to figure out how to change something. And so, like we had said, the champion in this case doesn't really know what to change.
Right.
He got tagged a few times. We definitely, in my opinion, dominated areas where he should have, in scrambles up against the fence, to takedowns, some top control. But those are all things that Volkanovski can fix. And Volkanovski was lighting him up when he was landing. There were sent. He dropped him in the fifth. He dropped him in the fourth, in the first. So he does have that confidence in his hands. He's always going to improve those things. Where I don't know if Makhachev is going to be like, hey, I got tagged a few times, maybe I should fix my wrestling. Like, that doesn't make sense. That being said, with the improvements that we think Volk is making, and he has nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose in the first fight. His title's not on the line. Double champ status is on the line. But if he loses this, he is still the bantamweight or featherweight champion of the world. Where if Islam loses, he's without a belt. Having nothing to lose and everything to gain in a fight like this for Volk, I think he's going to come out more aggressive than I think we've ever seen him. And I would not be surprised if he got a TKO done within three rounds, and I would love to see that.
You know, I was going to ask you what you thought, what you were thinking, because we're of the same opinion, you and I. We didn't talk about this. This is the first time we've spoken.
Yeah, we don't pregame any of the opinions on the show.
But we're in the minority. Most people, the betting odds and even most people I speak to, think that, you know, Makhachev is just going to win again. I've even spoken to some people who think that Makhachev underestimated took Volkanovski lightly in the last fight. He just, you know, assumed that it was going to be an easy fight, and then it turned out it wasn't an easy fight. The problem that I see for Makhachev is that he was training to fight Oliveira.
Mm-hmm.
And last time
he won, pretty easily.
He walked through. He walked through
like butter. Yeah.
Yeah. And was that Makhachev is that good, or something was wrong with Charlie? and I think the latter was probably the case. But my point is, if that is true that Makhachev took Volk lightly last time, he has not been preparing for Volkanovski. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, I'm back on my game and I'm really going to get it. And I'm going to do it right. This, you know what I'm saying? And he was training to fight Oliveira, who was an easy fight for him last time. So, maybe there's some, actually, I don't accept that narrative. I don't think that was true. I think Makhachev struggled with Volkanovski, and I think he was as prepared as he's. I think Makhachev has been training his entire life, and his level is his level, and his skill is his skill. And when he shows up, he shows up, and that's just it. He's pretty consistent, I think.
Yeah,
I just see a lot of holes in his games, and personally, I think he's a little bit overrated. And I blame, DC for that, Daniel Cormier. They really pushed to move him up the chain, I think, faster than he should have. But
gotcha. But with that being said, you were still picking Volkanovski
by strike?
By knockout.
But yeah. I think it's going to be early. Maybe it's going to be like a shocker.
Like an unsettable flat KO. Like when he did Chad Mendez.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be but out of the gate and like within the first minute, I think.
I think that
could really happen.
That excites me.
It could be later on in the second round, like you said.
Right. I think less than three rounds. I think that, if it happens in the first, awesome. If it happens in a minute, I'm running laps around my apartment like I always do. Something exciting happens like that. It's been a minute since we had a crazy, crazy knockout in a title fight. And I am excited. These fights start, if you're in California, they start tomorrow at 7 a.m. I'm going to get off work at like 2 a.m. I'm going to be up bright and early.
Which, see, I'm cornering three fighters tomorrow night in Los Angeles at the Commerce Casino, Up Next Fighting. And so I thought I wasn't going to be able to see the fights or see the UFC.
Yeah. But
they moved it early so that I can watch the UFC. And then
they heard about our schedules.
Yeah.
They
accommodated. I appreciate that.
They talked to the Prince of Saudi or whatever. God, I hope that wasn't the wrong answer. And they acclimated to us. And I appreciate that. Thank you, Etihad Arena. Thank you, fight fans, for tuning in, coach. Thank you for joining us. I don't know how we're the same person in different parts of our life. I love it. I always come on thinking like, oh, he's going to take me to school. And I'm like, oh, man, I got that right. I love that. We cannot wait to talk about this next Friday. And I will see you guys in the fight world. Thank you, coach. You guys have a good night.
All right. Have a great night.